We've got a great episode of State Your Line for you today. The last of the final three episodes.
Third to last.
We are going to be previewing the Super Bowl. We've got some openings and closings around Kansas City to cover. What we tried this week, some time to get Midwest mad. Hey, look, there's KC. And then our mixed plate of events we've got to attend slash perks of the show.
Sure.
Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is February 7th, Super Bowl week. And for the third time, we get to do a Super Bowl preview.
Wow, that's
on
true.
This show.
Yeah.
So what great time to start a podcast.
Yeah.
Just so happens to be when the Chiefs go to three out of the four Super Bowls that we are had the potential to cover. Which is great for us and really incredible. And I was looking back at some old footage of State Your Line. It'd be great to book in the show with a couple of Super Bowl recaps.
That's a good point.
I would love that.
Yeah, I would
Super
love that
Bowl
too.
Super Bowl wins on each side of the show.
Yeah.
Would be incredible. So
if the Chiefs could go ahead and do that for us, that'd be great.
That'd be great. So the Super Bowl week is here. A lot to get to. Chiefs, Eagles. Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Super Bowl week. Media coverage is starting. Mm-hmm. Like, NFL Network is just constantly showing Chiefs reports, Eagles reports.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. I'm so, so excited that this week is here.
Yeah, I love this week because, well, I don't really watch a ton of cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, because I have YouTube TV, so I don't just, like, turn on ESPN. I don't know. I just don't, right? Like, if I'm going to watch something, I'll go to, like, YouTube, actually, and watch it sometimes.
Yeah.
But this week is one of those weeks where I will. I'll just turn on ESPN because I know it's going to be Super Bowl coverage, and I know it's going to be something about the Chiefs. I know it's going to be, like, I just love watching our highlights and, like,
just talk over our highlights.
Yeah, and just, like, even though Dan Orlovsky can be a little bit annoying, like, I just love watching film breakdowns. And so, like, I get to do that on, like, Twitter and some of the blogs that I follow and some of the YouTube accounts that I follow. But just, like, seeing it on ESPN or seeing it on national TV, like, someone breaking down Mahomes' film, it's just like, oh, this feels good. And that's just, like, what it is all week. And I love it. Like, it's so fun having your team in the Super Bowl to just, like, know that everyone is going to be talking about your team all week. And it's really just like the Super Bowl is American culture. Like, the Super Bowl is the most defining event for American culture, I would say. And the Chiefs are being a part of that for three of the last 4 years. And Mahomes is a part of that. And it's just, it's cool. And it's just exciting. And I feel like being a Monday, it wasn't quite as, you know, exciting. The buzz wasn't quite there yet today, but I know, like, throughout the week,
it will build.
The buzz will build. You know, every moment of every day is just going to be, like, building towards the weekend. And every time you stop and get a coffee, or, like, you know, stop anywhere to eat on your way home or whatever it is, there's going to be Super Bowl buzz, and it's just a great feeling. Like, you can wear Chiefs clothes every day this week, and you can just do that.
Where's your Chiefs clothes?
I know, yeah.
Right. I have Chiefs clothes on.
I appreciate you wearing the Chiefs clothes on. I'm not
an outfit for every day.
And you laid it out
in on Zoom calls with people all over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be wearing Chiefs.
Rocking
stuff.
That Chiefs. Uh-huh. So yeah, I mean, the buzz, the media, the attention, people talking about your team. And then just you yourself, like, we had a text thread going about, like, what food we were thinking about doing for the Super Bowl watch party, and, like, every conversation is about the Super Bowl, and that's such a fun feeling to have. And yeah, I never thought that, you know, I remember growing up thinking, like, well, the Chiefs are never going to be in the Super Bowl. So, like, that the excitement and media attention around the Super Bowl will never happen to my team. And now it has. And it's a ton of fun.
Yeah. And it feels like we're so far removed from a true Super Bowl, like, watch party, because we had the 2021 Super Bowl where I feel like a lot of people, no one was really throwing big parties.
Yeah, we got COVID.
Exactly. So no one's really throwing that big of parties.
Or
for
I got
Super
COVID
Bowl.
From
you
our
got
party.
COVID. Yeah. I didn't. Still have it. No big deal. But But so this one just feels bigger again. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it feels like it's been so long since we've got to truly just go all out for the Super Bowl. And that's
but I'm not exciting. Like, even in 2019, I didn't do a big Super Bowl watch party. Yeah. And I can't watch.
But like, everything's going to be buzzing the week up.
Without
like, Friday, every happy hour is going to be packed.
Oh, yeah.
People in red. Saturday.
Oh, starting Wednesday, baby.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. But I personally, I can't watch. I won't be able to watch this in a large group. So like, same thing in 2019 against the 49ers. It's a relatively small group. It's just kind of a small watch party. And that's what I need, because I need to hear everything. I need to like be locked in. I can't be at a big group, like on a projection screen where there's like hundreds of people there. Like, mm-hmm, I could never do a bar or Power and Light. And I'm glad that people are able to do that. And I'm glad the excitement exists. Like, I'm glad there'll be shots of Power and Light, like, packed. Yeah. And I'm glad that the Brooksider and Social and these Ale House and like other sports bars are going to be packed, but I could never watch this game in a bar.
I just had a great idea for the people like us in a bar. Mm-hmm. What if you could rent like a set of Beats headphones when you went to like the Brooksider and say,
noise canceling headphones.
I want to rent a pair of headphones, and then I can be tapped into the broadcast.
Yeah.
Headphones on, hanging out.
That'd be weird.
I get to go to the bar and hang out, but you're kind of like a NASCAR fan a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you, because you want to be in that. You want to be in the environment and having fun. Because I think like being at Power and Light would be awesome, or being at the Brooksider or Kelly's or whatever big sports bar would be awesome, but it's the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could just noise cancel headphones, that'd be pretty sweet.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, I would pay to rent those.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you?
And then I would feel comfortable.
It's like a silent disco.
Yeah.
So take the idea of a silent disco, call it a silent sports bar. Oh my God, we're onto something.
Uh-huh.
The first people who thought of silent disco probably got laughed out of the room, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's called the silent sports bar, and you plug on the noise canceling headphones. Dude, just like a silent disco, how you can pick from like four different DJs.
Yeah.
You can pick from like all the different TVs and like set the channel. So on a Saturday, college football Saturday or something, when there's, you know, five games going on at once, control your, and then just like, boom, turn it off. Or your table has microphones and you can talk to the people at your table in your headphones.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
So that you can still converse with the people around. All right, we've got, podcast is ending in 2 weeks. We know what we're doing
next.
We're
going to be printing money.
We've got our next plan, the silent sports
bar.
But
I'd be more likely, because I would love to go and be in an environment like that, but I can't because of the sound.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So.
And the nervousness, like, you know, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to be fun. I won't be fun to watch the game with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of being nervous, like earlier in the week or last week, I was feeling better. I'm getting to the point of might be consuming too much content, might be overanalyzing, but I'm feeling worse. Like, the more I read about the Eagles and the Chiefs matchup, the less I like the matchup. And so I'm starting to get really nervous about the actual game, the matchup, and how we match up against the Eagles.
Yeah, there are some strength versus strength, and there's some strength versus weaknesses that'll match up kind of all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, they're the two best teams in the NFL.
Which is very exciting. It's
yes.
a 1.5-point spread. The 2-1 seeds, the two best teams from each conference meet in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very, very excited.
So like, game-wise, when you're talking about strength versus strength or strength versus weakness, what are you talking about?
So I'm seeing Chiefs, best pass offense, DVOA, best ranked pass offense.
Not even close.
Eagles, defense, first ranked against the pass in DVOA.
But,
however,
they played garbage quarterbacks.
Here's the top three quarterbacks they've played: Jared Goff, Daniel Jones twice, and Dak Prescott twice.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
no, they got Cooper Rush.
Oh, they got Cooper Rush. Yeah. So, yeah. Goff, Daniel Jones, I guess, three times.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
And then Dak Prescott.
Yeah. They had a lot of backups. They played a lot of injured quarterbacks.
That was Jared Goff week one, Detroit Lions week one.
And they also had the easiest schedule in the NFL. And like, all of that kind of happens, right? They had the easiest schedule because they beat, you know, almost every single team they played. And so those teams get worse because they get beat by the Eagles. The Chiefs had the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL by the same metrics that are measuring the Eagles as the easiest schedule in the NFL. So I think their pass rush their pass defense is okay. Their pass rush is very good.
Pass rush is very good.
I think our offensive line is good, but their pass rush is very good.
And very good on the outside. And that's where our question marks are.
And very good on the inside.
But I like where we are on the inside. I trust Creed, Tooney, and Trey Smith more than I trust Wiley and Orlando Brown on the outside.
So the Eagles have sacked opposing quarterbacks on 11.5% of their pass plays, the highest mark of any defense since the year 2000. So the highest mark, the Eagles are sacking, they set the record for most sacks by a defensive line and sacked quarterbacks on 11.5% of pass plays. The difference between the Eagles being number one at 11.5% and the Patriots number two was the same difference between the Patriots number two and the Bengals at number 29. So the difference between the Eagles at number one and the Patriots at number two is the same difference between the Patriots and the Bengals, who are the 29th best pass rush. Mm-hmm. And so their pass rush is really good. Strength for strength. Mahomes doesn't get sacked when he gets pressured. So Mahomes is the best in the NFL at getting a pressure against him, but not getting sacked. So that's a strength for strength. But again, our tackles, every Chiefs fan knows this, gives up a lot of pressures. The Eagles get a lot of sacks. And the Eagles do it, for the most part, without blitzing. So the Eagles' sack rate actually goes up when they only rush four or fewer defenders. So when the Eagles are rushing only four, they get sacks on 11.8% of pass plays. So there's other things that go into that. When the Eagles are rushing four, obviously they're expecting a pass, so quarterbacks are holding the ball longer. And a lot of times, that's on, third and long situations. But nevertheless, the Eagles front four are very, very good. And I mean, they set the NFL record for sacks, and they're the best at getting pressure in 23 years. So that's something I'm nervous about.
Know their strength for strength.
And also, what does that remind you of? Like, every Chiefs fan getting home with four, like, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the Bucs.
Yeah.
It reminds you of that
Super Bowl. I didn't know if you wanted to go back to, like, the Giants, Patriots, where that all started.
No.
But yeah. Bucs.
Bucs in 2021.
Another strength for strength. Third down and longs.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs, the best in the league at it, convert at 45%.
Is that third and seven plus?
Plus. Which was nearly 12 percentage points more than the second place team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the best in the league at it by a wide margin. The Eagles are the best in the league at not allowing conversions on third and long, but look at the quarterbacks they play.
Yes. And third probably and long, because of sacks.
Yes. Third and long is very much a quarterback stat, I think. How good are you as a quarterback at converting third and long? If you haven't faced a lot of great quarterbacks, your defense is probably going to be pretty good at that. And they're very good at it.
Yeah.
So another strength for strength.
Strength for strength. We have Travis Kelce.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew this.
He's playing in it.
The Eagles are the fourth best defense against tight ends in the NFL. So whereas the Jaguars were the worst defense in the NFL against tight ends, the Eagles are the fourth best defense against tight ends. So there's a strength for strength, our tight end against a very good defense. Now, we can throw three tight ends out there without blinking an eye. Not many teams can. So I think that, we'll still be able to get Travis targets and yards, but strength for strength.
Yeah, throwing in a 12 or 13 personnel, two or three tight ends. The Eagles struggle against the run big time there.
There you go.
So we can mix that in. We mixed it in, I think, the third most that we had all year last week. So we did use a lot of two and three tight end sets that puts them in their base defense. And then there's opportunities to exploit that.
I love that.
RPO starts to get very effective in against the Eagles' base defense, which Patrick Mahomes is incredible when the RPO is working. So, again, good against one tight end.
Yes.
Can struggle against two or three.
Strength versus strength. Chris Jones, all pro. Best defender, one of the best defenders in the NFL. Chris Jones often rushes from the inside. And who plays on the inside? Jason Kelce, all pro. So again, Chris Jones gets home like 70% of the time when he gets one-on-ones against a guard. But obviously the job of the center is to help out with a double team. And so Jason Kelce is going to be there to help double team against Chris Jones. Chris Jones is still a beast, and Chris Jones is probably you know, is going to get pressure because that's what he does, but still a strength for strength there, which makes me continues to make me nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then receivers and defensive backs, Chiefs receivers, it depends on who's actually going to go, but that could be a big mismatch too. They've got
so strength versus weakness.
It could be a strength versus weakness depending on who we're able to run out there. If it's you know, Justin Watson and Marcus Kemp, I'm nervous.
Yes.
I'm very nervous.
Yeah.
If it's Juju and MVS and Kadarius Toney playing, then not nearly as nervous.
Yeah. Also, our defense, the Eagles have A.J. Brown, pretty good, and the Chiefs' secondary ranks last or second to last in defense against number one receivers. So against a team's number one, the Chiefs are ranked 31st in DVOA against number one receivers. So
they have a pretty good number one receiver.
Yeah, A.J. Brown.
Very, very good.
Yeah, so again, very nervous the more I read about this and like dive into some of the more matchup based stuff. But again, this is the beauty of this whole thing. But Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have Patrick Mahomes. We have Andy Reid. We have Steve Spagnuolo, who struggles at times, but at the end of the day, Steve Spagnuolo has seen more football and can strategize better than you know, just about anyone, right? He's mm-hmm. one of the smartest dudes. He beat Brady in the Super Bowl when he was twice with the Giants. He is extremely smart when given time to come up with a scheme. And so I still believe in Steve Spagnuolo to come up with a good scheme. I believe in Andy Reid to have answers for scheme-wise against the Eagles and what they can do from a pass rush perspective. And Mahomes, I mean, we have the number one cheat code in the NFL, and when you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, even on a bum ankle, you still have a chance to win any game you're in. And so while we're underdogs, while some of these matchups do worry me, we still have Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're by far and away the best offense that the Eagles will face, by far and away the best quarterback that the Eagles will face. And Jalen Hurts really hasn't gone up against many good defenses either. And mm-hmm. his numbers against top half defenses, so his numbers against defenses in the top half of the NFL are not nearly as good as his defenses or his numbers against the bottom half of the NFL. And a lot of Jalen Hurts' numbers and the Eagles' offensive numbers have come in, you know, just massive blowout games where they just they beat the brakes off someone and kind of pad the stats a little bit. And so we, you know, are an average defense. I think we're right about like 15, 16, depending on the metrics that you're looking at. And so I think we have the ability to slow down the Eagles offense, which has been the second best offense in the NFL by a lot of standards. So they have the best, most efficient running offense in the NFL. We have one of the worst run defenses, but again, all that can change by scheme, and I have faith in Spagnuolo to do that, and Mahomes.
Okay. Mahomes. Get healthy, everybody.
I know.
And I'm really wanting a Patrick Mahomes scorched earth game in the Super Bowl. It hasn't happened.
450
yards. He hasn't put together a full, complete game, but I'd love to see it.
Mm.
All right.
I think that matters. Like, I think that matters in the Super Bowl. Like, to this him? Is Mahomes' it third does. Super Bowl. This is Jalen Hurts' first. Like, no matter how big of a badass you are, which I think Jalen Hurts is, and I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's good. You're going to have nerves playing in your first Super Bowl, and Super Bowls are weird games where everyone's playing with nerves, and we have the experience, and I think that matters, and we don't have that corny ass freaking that Eagles coach.
Little Caesar. Well, I like Little Caesars too.
I like Little Caesars too.
But
be careful.
Corny.
Nick Sirianni. I almost forgot his name.
All right. Third Super Bowl preview that we've done on the show.
Beautiful.
Incredible.
I wonder how it would stack up against our others.
Probably the best.
Well, I know, like, I'm sure, I can't imagine what I said against Tampa because I was feeling very confident going into that game.
I
thought offensive line didn't matter at all. Like, that was literally my take. The offensive line doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coldest, worst, like, proof that I know so little about football, takes of all time.
Yeah.
Thinking that the offensive line
didn't
matter.
I just said we just scheme around it.
Yeah.
I said, they'll just scheme around it.
I said it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. That was bad.
Scheme didn't matter.
I just said, just throw some screenplays in there, get rid of the ball quick. Like, who cares?
Scheme around
it.
Yeah. So, I need to know what I thought about the San Francisco. I don't remember what I thought about the San Francisco game. I did go back and look, and it started as a pick'em, and then I think we ended up as 1-point favorites in that game.
Mm-hmm.
1.5-point underdogs here. So, well, we were in the Tampa, like 6-point favorites?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I was feeling like 12-point favorites.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a blowout. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Hold on. Super Bowl 55 line.
So this is Super Bowl 57?
This is 57. So Chiefs were 3.5-point favorites. The over-under was 57.5 in that game.
We scored 9 points.
We scored 9. No touchdowns. Yep. All right. So that is, we're going to be here.
Super Bowl preview.
We're going to be here in a week. We'll be here after the Super Bowl. We're recording on Monday. So this, podcast will be out next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and our lives will either be changed forever or we'll have to talk ourselves into caring about the offseason and talk ourselves into something along those lines. But that does not sound fun. I want all my life to change. I want to be playing.
We celebrate. Yeah.
I want to
celebrate.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move into some openings around Kansas City. First one, this is really cool. So I guess I'll lead into it with saying, because we're going to be talking about the Negro Leagues. First, it's free for the month of February.
Oh, nice.
The Royals are picking up the tab for Black History Month. So if you want to go to the Negro Leagues Museum, the Royals are picking up the tab. Go check it out. It's incredible. It's a lot of fun. And then go eat at like Arthur Bryant's or something when you're over down in the 18th and Vine neighborhood. So
why don't you go to Arthur Bryant's?
I haven't been.
Never been.
All right, so let's talk MLB The Show, video games. We're big video game guys.
Huge video game guys.
Huge. In the Negro Leagues teams are going to be featured in this upcoming
Not quite.
MLB The Show, some players possibly.
Some players, yeah. So MLB The Show is basically Madden for baseball. It's like the number one baseball video game. There's a new feature this year called Storylines where essentially you get to, it's a storytelling feature to experience like a narrative journey through the player's perspective. So it's a tough thing to do, right? Like you can't put into a video game the experience of what the Negro League baseball players were going through, like Jackie Robinson and Satchel Paige and Buck O'Neill and whatnot, because obviously that is not able to be put into a video game, like the discrimination, the hatred, the violence that they experienced. You can't make that into a game.
Right.
It would probably be a bad look to do so, and you just can't do it. So it's more going to be just like a storytelling feature where you kind of get to just experience a little bit of their story through their perspective, I think, in some sort of game mode towards the show. So those players are going to be like featured. There's 8 players that are going to be featured. The families of the players and Bob Kendrick were like integral in creating this experience. So it's all been worked on with the families of the players and with Bob Kendrick. And so they're doing it right. It's 8 players and their stories that are going to be featured in the game. So MLB The Show is also donating $1 for every game that they sell to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. So a good partnership there. This sounds pretty cool. And there's going to be all these little short videos telling the story of some of these some of the players that, again, include Satchel Paige and Jackie Robinson, Buck O'Neill, among others. So pretty sweet deal.
Awesome. I know. I don't own a video game console, and we'll never play, but sounds awesome.
I always tell Megan that she's lucky that I don't have a video game console.
That's a good one.
That's one of the the vices that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use tobacco products either. Credit to
good
me.
Good on you.
Credit to
good
me.
Good on you.
I'm not addicted to sports gambling. Credit to me.
Good on you. All right. Let's see. This next one is troubling. Very, very troubling, I think.
Kansas City. I'm concerned.
Surprise isn't in Midwest, Matt. Kansas City, a new area code is coming your way.
A new area code.
And it's the new area code is going to be 975.
Disgusting.
Is the area code. And that's because by like October of 2023, basically all the 816 numbers, all the combinations will have been used up.
Yep.
So
I don't think it's all the combinations, because I think there's rules as far as like a number can't start with like a one or a zero, right? It can't be like 816042. Like you can't do that. But basically all the available combinations are gonna be used up.
Yeah. So that's gross. So basically, it'll be in the Kansas City metro area. So I think starting like
on the Missouri side, I think.
Yeah, only. On the Missouri side.
It's starting in October. Because
if you get a new phone number, if you need to get a new phone number, it will be a 975.
975.
That I had a very nervous moment there because I'm moving to the Missouri side.
Yeah,
and I was like, what if my number is 975? But then I'm like, oh, I won't get a house number.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Seinfeld episode about this where Elaine gets a new number, and it's not even area code because Seinfeld is in the 90s. It's just the first three digits in Manhattan used to mean like the region of Manhattan you were in. So if you were like in downtown or the borough that you were in, even. So if you were in Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx or Long Island or Manhattan, like you had a different, not area code, but just the first three digits of your number, because 2003, like no one used area codes basically. Mm-hmm. So there's an entire Seinfeld episode about this. And just like you said, Elaine's trying to give her number out and dudes are just like not calling her and not going on dates with her because they're so disgusted by her number.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this will be received. If someone says they have a 975 area code, I'll probably just never talk to them.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
I don't want to be friends with you. Please don't call me.
Yeah, but
if I start seeing that
means there's a good chance like all our kids, their phone number is going to be 975.
No doubt. Well, James won't get a cell phone until he graduates high school. So
yeah, that's what we're doing too.
Yeah, okay,
I think
good.
Once, maybe after college.
Yeah.
So that's why
975.
That's gonna be gross to see.
That's gonna be awful, dude. In the amount of like freaking spam calls, they're all gonna be 975.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
So
it's funny too because like this was announced by the Missouri Public Service Commission. Didn't know that existed. And then there's the also quoted in the article is the North American Numbering Plan Association. So the North American Numbering Plan Association,
riveting
association
stuff,
exists. Like they were like, "Yep, you're gonna run out of 816s by spring of 2024, so you got to add a new one." And I don't know. I guess that's their only job.
Important.
Tell people when they're running out. St. Louis added a new area code like last year, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see another. Well, let's go to something restaurant oriented. An opening is Privy. Opening up. This is on Southwest Boulevard.
Yeah, and that big building that it was like Jared Allen had a restaurant there, like way back in the day.
I don't remember that.
And
700 Southwest Boulevard.
It's right across the street from La Bodega. So like,
okay,
like kind of under that underpass.
Yeah. What's the cool swanky bar? Panther Place is over right there.
Yeah, kind of close to there. It's a huge building, and then. So it was Jared Allen's restaurant. I can't remember. That might have just been called Jared Allen's restaurant. And then it was Casa Grande for a while, which was kind of like a club-y place.
Right next to La Fonda.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right there. So that's where this is going. Privy.
Looks swanky.
Yeah.
Very swanky.
Timothy Harris is opening this, bringing an executive chef from Miami. So
restaurant
maybe we'll
lounge.
Get some vibes there, but
it's Miami vibes.
Yeah, restaurant and lounge. They're gonna have
like couches.
Oh yeah, baby.
Leather couches.
Mm, yeah,
swinging benches.
Lamb chops, steaks, lobster, seafood on the menu. Brunch on Saturday and Sunday. I bet they get a rowdy brunch. And this is opening. Does it say when it's opening?
Spring 2023.
That's
what it says.
All right.
So
yeah it was California Taqueria, Casa Grande, Jared Allen Sports and Arena Bar. It's a big bar. You're seeing swanky couches?
Yeah, I'm seeing swanky. I'm on their website.
Wow.
They got a dress code, but it's in a different language, so I can't read it. And the atmosphere, Whoa. Let's see how they describe their atmosphere.
I mean, the steak looks good.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Steak.
Wow. Dude, it is swanky.
Yes, it's a vibe. It is
It's a lounge.
It's definitely a lounge
It's
vibe.
Restaurant and lounge.
All right. Also opening, Blue Sushi. So is this
so good renderings in here?
Is this Power and Light Blue Sushi?
That's right.
Opening.
Yeah.
When is that? They open doors yet? They're going in the Drunken Fish, right?
No, it is open.
It is
so
open.
So it went in Bar Louie, where Bar Louie was.
Oh, close great enough. Spot.
Yeah. But Blue Sushi in Power and Light is now open. They've spent the last 6 months redoing the space. This is Blue Sushi, so it's a chain. There's one, the one in Westwood that's really popular and has a great happy hour. I know a lot of people really like that spot. That's not going away, so it's just expanding. It's a second location.
Good, good.
It's actually the 20th Blue Sushi location in the country now. So
been to one in Omaha before.
Oh, really?
Pretty great everywhere, yeah.
Sweet. I mean, yeah, I mean, they've got a wooden sailboat sushi platter.
Awesome happy hour specials.
Sushi is like the perfect happy hour food. I love think it's sushi for
and
happy
I don't mind drinking with sushi either.
Yeah, a little like crispy, you know, beer or something.
You don't fill up too much either. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Good. So Blue Sushi in Power and Light is now open. Again, looks pretty sweet. The renovations from Bar Louie definitely fit more of the sushi vibe. So yeah, check it out.
All right, closing this week is District Poorhouse?
District Poorhouse.
I thought they were opening another location in Shawnee.
It's both.
Both are closing?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
One is closing, one is opening.
So Waldo is closing.
Waldo's closing.
Wow, that's a bummer.
10 years.
Okay, now I know what I'm doing next. In comes Habrunchy, right? And there it goes.
No, 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 no. Silent Sports Bar.
Silent Sports Bar.
Silent Don't forget
sports
about
bar
that.
At night, Habrunchy in the morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's room in there.
Just flip the
for side. All that.
No, it's massive. That's the thing. That's the problem with District Poorhouse. Okay. They said he actually. I
they
was
did Ghost Kitchen.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Like Jimmy's Wings or something
they're
like
pretty
that.
Pretty good. I got him. Yeah.
I was about to jump down this landlord's throat because that Romanelli's is dying. Like Classic Cookie gone. Bar or Louis Wine Dive was always crowded.
Yep.
Gone. Louis Wine Dive said they left because they couldn't reach an agreement with the landlord, and then. You know, District Poorhouse was saying they were leaving. I was like about to make some assumptions about this landlord, but the owners of District Poorhouse said the landlords were actually fine. They were nice. The space was just too big, and they couldn't come to an agreement with the landlord. And the space was just too big, according
Silent
to them.
Sports Bar.
So they are opening. They are opening District Poorhouse in Shawnee. Basically, it's like Johnson Drive in Neiman is where that's going. So. You still will have District Poorhouse. I know they had a really good brunch. I only have been there for brunch. I've never had a meal
brunch.
There.
A great manmosa
They
made. And then...
And they were famous for their Bloody Mary.
Because of the infused vodka.
Yeah, they had all their own infused vodka and made their own Bloody Mary mix. So yeah, this is an old bar. Like Romanelli's is the original bar that was there. I mean, our dad grew up going to Romanelli's. He had his 21st birthday there.
Yeah.
He loves to tell us how sad his 21st birthday was because he just had a beer at Romanelli's with his dad. Maybe some catfish or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's Romanelli's. So maybe someone will bring back Romanelli's.
It was a day dog.
Yeah, he was a day dog.
You know, working at the Safeway.
Working at the Safeway.
Going to college. Going to Rockers.
Yep, living with his parents.
He was a day dog. Yeah, that's a bummer. Again, hope for that neighborhood and that building to get a good tenant in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
So
I wish they wouldn't have...
One door closes, another one
yeah,
opens.
Yeah, I mean, Louis Wine Dive was sweet. I went there for brunch and dinner. Louis Wine Dive was great.
Remember when they had the bottomless at Louis?
Oh, it was just a party.
It was just a rager.
Yeah, nonstop. In the morning. Yeah, now it's like a home interior design store.
Lame. All right, let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week... Got to try a murder mystery party.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever done one of these before?
Nope.
It's a lot of fun. So you get your character ahead of time.
I have done one of
you
these.
You have done?
Yeah,
you get
sorry.
Your character ahead of time. You get...
I think I talked about it on the pod.
Oh, you get a description of the character. And then each murder mystery will have a theme. So our theme was Sin City. So Vegas themed.
Nice.
I was an investigative journalist.
I was wondering what that was for.
Yeah, that's why I had a mustache and no facial hair now.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
That's a personal pine tar of mine, but mustache was sweet. So you get to dress in character, and then each round begins with, you know, clues for your character, and everybody else is in character, revealing clues about themselves. In round two, someone dies, gets murdered.
Yep.
And then more clues start to reveal themselves. And then round three, you're trying to figure out, okay, who done it? Who did this?
Yep.
Who committed the murder? And then the big reveal happened. So it's a lot of fun. I did not guess correctly.
Yeah.
Who committed the murder? Uh-huh. That's tough.
Yeah. Because every single clue is trying to convince you that every person did it.
Yeah.
Like there, it's all
everyone hated the person who was
misled.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Everyone had had a motive. Mm-hmm. Basically,
it's basically like Glass Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was really fun to play that in real life. Next
well,
time,
not real life because no one actually got
well,
murdered.
Glass Onion in real life.
Yeah.
Without the murder.
Without the murder.
Without the real murder.
Uh-huh.
But it was really fun. What I would say I would do next time is actually have a notepad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe take some notes because I couldn't keep track of what was going on and maybe not start each round with a shot.
Yeah.
They threw me off their scent by doing that.
So, did the person, was the person who was the murderer, did they have a decent poker face or did, or?
They don't know.
Oh, really?
They don't know until the very end.
Is that true?
That's how we play.
Yeah, I couldn't remember because we did this like last year and it was, the theme was like, it was on the set of an 80s action movie. So I was the director basically playing like a, kind of like a James Cameron, Steven Spielberg type. And then there was like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type and, you know, different actors and different characters and stuff like that. It was fun.
Anyways, a very fun activity.
Yeah.
So would recommend it.
This week I also played pretend, pretended to be rich.
Oh,
so
nice.
Went to the Children's Mercy Red Hot Nights Gala.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. Supporting Children's Mercy. Children's Mercy, it truly does blow my mind. Like how important they are. Obviously, you know, this is a fundraiser, so they're telling you how important they are. But it's I mean, when you having kids, like you never want to go to Children's Mercy. But knowing that it exists and having the peace of mind that Children's Mercy is a 15-minute drive away from you is like one of the more comforting things about raising kids in Kansas City. And so it was cool. It was fun to be a part of it. We had a big group of college friends and high school friends that went. And yeah, I mean, there are people there that are just dropping 70 grand on a auction package, like a live auction, $70,000. Putting up their thing and they're like sitting a table away from me and I'm just like,
did you think about being a prankster at any point and risking it?
I don't think you can do that. Not with this, not with these auction items, but yeah, I mean, it was cool to see the amount of, generosity in Kansas City, but then also, kind of mind blowing to see the amount of money people are just like willing to spend and like watching the guy just like talking about going up and continuing to go up when they're at like $65,000. I'm just like, for Taylor Swift concert, you sure about that? You sure about that?
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
I'm like nickel and diamond dining room chairs. Like, I don't think I
Wayfair,
don't think
go that. Wayfaring dining room chairs.
I'm on Wayfair dining room chairs setting my filters for price.
One of the...
It's not 65 grand, although there are chairs that, that
the auction
that.
Item that did go for the most was a private jet to the Kentucky Derby for six people and a box at the Kentucky Derby.
Sweet.
Pretty sweet. I told the people at my table I was good for $125 if we wanted to go in together. And so if someone wanted to cover the other $85K
I would
that it went
that.
For, so I was good for $125. So no one took me up on it. So I'm not going to the Kentucky Derby in a private jet. But Good on the people who organized that event. A few of my friends were involved in that. And shout out to Children's Mercy. Thank you for being around. Hope we never have to go to you, but it's very reassuring knowing you exist.
This is going to be an interesting transition to Midwest Mad.
Okay,
after Children's Mercy. But you've got an update on the Mission Gateway Project.
Mission Gateway Project.
I didn't read the update because I'm so optimistic that the update must be we've got a developer. There's money there, and it's going to be done soon, right? That's got to be the update, because since 2006, they've been working on this. So in 2023, they've got to have.
That's the update.
They've got to have a new developer.
No. Same developer.
Oh, God.
Same developer.
Okay.
Same two.
Is the mayor making promises?
The mayor's making promises.
Okay. Let's check what else is on the bingo board. Mayor making promises, developer, a new idea, maybe a...
A new main tenant.
Yeah.
All that is in it.
Okay.
So Mission Gateway Project at Rowan and Shawnee Mission Parkway. We've talked about this extensively because of all the stupid updates that we've had to give on this project. It is hilarious. 16 years in the making. You mentioned that $268 million development. They have a final, Kev. Final, a yes.
Final, the headline a is final yes. Approval.
That is the mayor,
no way. That is
Mayor Soli Flora said
that they built their campaign on this.
Yes, they built their campaign on this.
Stake their reputation
that
on this.
The Cameron Group, which is the developer, must complete the first phase within 46 months of the bonds being issued or the project drops dead. So the mayor is saying they must complete the first phase within 46 months of the bonds being issued or the project drops dead. That, my friends, is what we call foreshadowing. That is what we call in 46 months from now when we all look back and the project's dead.
426 or 46?
46 months.
46 months.
46 months. Mm. When it's 48, 47 months from now and the project is still where it's at, we'll look back at this comment and be like, that was foreshadowing. That is what that is called.
And then the headline that day will be, we've reached a final agreement.
Final. No, this is the company sixth, from New York. This is the sixth final agreement. So, yeah, the first phase will be completed by Q4 of 2025. First phase.
What
of
is
like
there
three phases.
Now? What phase is built now? What phase is that?
The
parking garage with the, like poop on
half
it
a
now.
Parking garage and a street light that went up by that Wendy's. That poor Wendy's is just chugging along.
Still alive.
Still
alive. Got remodeled like twice.
Alive. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the impressive. Best spicy chickens in the city.
Yeah, that Wendy's was clutch. So anyways, Mission Gateway.
What about Model Tenant? Or main tenant?
I don't know.
Anything about it?
I didn't read anything. I just looked at the numbers.
Oh, we've already have. Oh, man.
Yep. I mean, there's a hotel that's supposed to go in there. There's restaurant. There's a retail area. Yeah. Project drops dead if it's not complete in 46 months.
And then what's it do when it's dead?
Be a real shame
then
if that
what
were
do
to
they
happen.
Do?
Be a real shame.
What do they do when it's dead? Build a park there? We need a Leslie Knope in this city.
This newest version was announced in February of 2022. This newest version was announced a year ago. And dude, look, I'm looking at the Business Journal right now, and at the end, you know, it says related content. There's like six stories in related content all on the Mission Gateway project that are all delayed. It's gonna start delayed. It's gonna vote pushback delayed. It's hilarious.
City official, with limited tools, hands are tied on Mission Gateway.
Mm, yeah, okay.
And then just pictures of half-built parking structures. What a sad piece of land. All right. Also, Midwest Mad. I forgot. I don't think we talked about this last week, but this is what this segment was invented for, I think.
Yeah.
Beyonce saying Arrowhead was in Kansas City, Kansas.
Ah!
Just
Beyonce.
That's what this...
How
show
could you?
Was founded on to just get upset about saying something's in Kansas that's actually in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the internet did get mad.
Yes.
And it was Kansas Cityans versus Beyonce stans.
Yes. Ooh, that's a scrap.
Yeah. I'm team Kansas City.
Obviously.
And I'm also team Beyonce has lost a step.
Yeah. Well, she did an opening, maybe it was for the Super Bowl last year.
The Oscars.
Where it was like in tennis?
It was
yeah.
in all green
all
for
green.
King Richard.
That was an awful performance. Yep. Like, that was pre-taped.
Yep.
And it was still one of the most low-energy performances I've ever... Like, Beyonce, yeah. all she has... Not all she has, but she's known for her energetic performances.
Yeah.
And that Oscars opening performance with green tennis balls everywhere was so low-key. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, energy and... You know, the Savage remix, mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion versus Beyonce, the energy is night and day.
Yeah.
Megan
oh, yeah.
Thee Stallion
Much
brings
more
the
energy.
Energy.
Brings the energy.
Brings the energy.
It's a young man's game. A woman's.
Sorry. The game might have passed her by. That happens to all of us.
That I mean, that concert's going
to
sell out in no time, but, you know, Beyonce, you got to get the state right. Come on. Come on, Bay.
All right. Next up, we've got a, hey, look, there's KC.
How old is
Leonardo DiCaprio? I think she's 40.
Mm. 41. 40?
Yeah.
41.
Sometimes time just passes us by.
Jay-Z's 53.
HBO, The Last of Us. So we talked about this earlier on the show.
Talked about it a lot.
How was it going to be? Just Kansas City was going to be involved in the show.
Yeah, Kansas City is a setting.
We got some still shots, some screenshots.
Yeah, baby.
Some B-roll of apocalyptic Kansas City,
broken down,
apocalyptic Mamba, Skyline. What else do we? Oh, the bridge, the Kansas Bridge, I think.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't know which bridge.
Yeah,
it was.
I didn't recognize that bridge.
But
it wasn't the I-35 north.
We look great, post apocalyptic.
Yeah, overgrown. Yeah. With which? Are you watching the show?
I'm only on episode two.
Okay,
so
like all the chat
three.
in our group text, you're just ignoring it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right,
I am.
Well, the show is very good. I kind of started watching it for the Kansas City angle a little bit because. Mm-hmm. I never played the video game. I didn't watch Walking Dead.
I love The Walking Dead.
I'm not a huge, I don't know, it's not like right up my alley. It's not
a big end of the world.
No, I am. World War Z. I like world building and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not a huge like zombie guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Kev, the good thing about that show, it's not about zombies. It's about love.
Oh, that's where you're going. That's your theme.
But I
saw zombies eating face.
Yeah,
so.
No, zombies are very much, and the zombies are cool. Plus, you know, it's a realistic zombie, like the mushrooms
the
take over. Did you see that?
Really good.
The World Health Organization like recently issued something about fungi taking over.
Be careful. Watch out for the fungus.
But yeah, the show is very good. So this latest episode 4, they finally get to Kansas City. So it's the story of a man and a young girl in a post-apocalyptic United States traveling across the country. And they're in Kansas City, which I think is going to be, it's replacing Pittsburgh in the game. So if you played the game, a lot of it takes place in Pittsburgh, but they switched it to Kansas City. And I think it's going to be a setting for at least a couple of episodes here. So we'll get some more shots of Kansas City, even though it was filmed in Alberta. It's fun. It's fun having it take place in the city.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to say the show is fun. I was like,
the show is great.
It's great. It's stressful.
I'm very much into the show. I very much like it. HBO's got it figured out. They got their formula figured out. They're just appointment television. One of very little left.
Uh-huh. All right. Do you have a personal pine tar?
I didn't write one down.
Okay. I didn't either. I'm good. It could be furniture shopping, but my wife said I can't complain about it on the podcast, so I'm not going to complain about it.
This is you not complaining.
This is me not complaining
I'm
about
very
it.
Very happy that you chose not
complain
to complain
about it, but it's I'm not complaining about it.
Nope.
All right. Let's move into our mixed plate of events we've gotten to attend / perks of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just some of the favorite things that we've gotten to do because of the show.
Yes.
That maybe we wouldn't have been able to do if we didn't have the show. Which has been one of our favorite parts, you know, some of the different events we've gotten to see or things that have happened because of the show. So we want to talk about some of those things. It's episode 194. So that means I got to go first.
Yeah.
This one's going to be tough. What do you choose to go first here? I'm going to go with the Taco Bell Cantina grand opening. It was just absolutely electric. DJ Ashton Martin in the house, friend of the show, DJ Ashton Martin.
He was DJing that?
He was DJing the opening of the Taco Bell Cantina in Westport.
I mean, that's bucket list.
Incredible show. There was each person, so I brought three people or four people, I think.
Yeah.
We each got $20 gift cards. So we each got like $20 worth of Taco Bell that night.
Mm-hmm.
Boulevard was there.
That's got to feel great where you can just like
go just all nachos, out. Nachos, quesadillas, things I'm very confused about the Taco Bell menu that's been well documented on this show.
Yeah.
So I was able to just point and get a bunch of Taco Bell. I felt very rich.
Nice.
Boulevard was there slinging drinks. So got to try like the Mountain Dew Baja Blast Margarita with tequila in it. That was wild.
Wow.
Boulevard was
sounds like a Lake of the Ozarks creation.
It was wild. The ownership group, like the franchise ownership group, gave a talk about how everybody's family that works there. It was so genuine sounding.
Yeah.
I could just tell they really cared.
They meant it.
And DJ Ashton Martin was, you know,
spinning
beats. So sweet. That was incredible. It was electric.
All right. My side number one, my meat number one here. I'm gonna go with the Boulevard Barrel Warehouse tour that we got to do. I just like nerded out the entire time about one. It was just like astonishing how big their warehouse is. Like, that was just mind-blowing how big the Boulevard warehouse is. This is, like, out on Bannister and 71 Highway, kind of.
87th Street.
Yeah.
Between Cerner and the highway. I don't know what that road is.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Hickman,
like...
Hickman Mills Road, maybe?
Kind of in between 71 and 435.
Yeah.
I mean, just all their whiskey and barrel aging program, or not whiskey aging, but beer in the old whiskey barrels. That whole program is run out of there. And then it's just the warehouse with like a bunch of like quirk cans, which is cool. We took some cool pics and got to taste beer like literally right out of the barrel. So
uncarbonated
right out of the barrel. So that was really fun. So that's my meat number one.
I was kind of drunk after that one.
Well, because the beer we were drinking was like 18%.
Oof.
Because they like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was stiff.
All right. Let's see. Meat number two here. I'm going to go with the Nighthawk grand opening.
Nice.
So Town Company, which is, I think, your favorite restaurant in the city now.
That's right.
And then... their speakeasy style bar in the basement of Hotel Kansas City called Nighthawk had their grand opening. I got to go because I don't know, Trizzolo maybe?
Somebody. That. Yeah.
But anyways, I felt very much like an influencer, which was awesome. Got some free drinks, free food, met Dante Hall, no big deal. Got his number. We text sometimes. We're Snapchat friends. Not a big deal at all. Just me and Dante. We're pretty cool.
Is this a Snapchat name, like anything X Factor or anything related?
Well, I'll see, because, you know, we're friends on Snapchat.
I think I had to miss that one.
You did.
The Nighthawk. But that's it's a speakeasy, and they, like, make their own, they have, like, a Manhattan or they a cocktail or something like that, right? A cocktail machine?
Yeah, it's the highball.
The highball machine, yeah. That looked pretty sweet, so.
No, it's not X Factor related.
Dang it.
Mm-hmm.
Human joystick related?
No, nothing. Just Dante.
Culpepper.
Yeah. All right. So that's
right.
My
meat. All right. Side number, meat number two for me. I'm going to go with, Missouri Mavs game. We got
Kansas City Mavs game. I always think they're Missouri Mavs too. And then I,
cause that's where they started as. Yeah. I forget.
But then I'm like, no, wait, they changed to Missouri Mavs. No, they're Kansas City Mavs.
Yeah. That was really fun. It was early on in the podcast.
Schultz, the hookup.
Yeah. We interviewed the interim head coach, Cole Schultz, who is also a Curie Varsh Cougar, and a friend of yours. And then we got tickets to the game. We went out there together. We brought Megan and Jesse, and that was a fun little outing out that, you know, kind of unexpected, but had a blast.
I know that inspired me to go to more Mavs games.
There you go.
That was nice to go for free too. All right, let's see. Side number one here. I'm gonna go with the Hollywood Casino that I got to go to. What was the restaurant in there?
Oh, was it Gordon Ramsay?
Hollywood Casino restaurant, the steakhouse. Man. Final Cut.
Tinseltown.
I think it was called the Final Cut Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Would have never went in my life to Hollywood Casino, maybe, number one. Maybe I would have with the sports, but I don't gamble. So I don't know. I might have never gone out there. So got to see all the memorabilia. Like, I never put together two and two. Like, Hollywood Casino means they're going to have a bunch of
Hollywood
memorabilia, like Dorothy's shoes from The Wizard of Oz. James Bond, a couple of James Bond suits and or tuxes.
Nice.
In there and a few other things, which was really fun. Again, free drinks. And then free money to the casinos, to the slots. And I think I won maybe like $40 or $50 at the slot machines. Had to smoke a cigarette to fit in.
Oh, that's right.
At the slot machines. Yeah. But,
you got to do what you got
to
do.
I made sure to pull my mask down so I could smoke the cigarette and then pull it back up.
Smart.
That's one of the times at the Hollywood Casino. It was a wild place. And how easy it is to open a credit card at a casino is frightening.
A credit card?
Credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Credit card. Advance money. They just give it to you.
Damn.
It is. It's frightening.
It's like the sportsbook apps.
Yeah. It was gross.
All right. Side number one for me. I will go with... Okay. So this isn't directly... because of the podcast, but I think it influenced it a little bit. I was in the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
When we won 3 years ago. So I went with a friend who,
I didn't get that perk of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, all of yours. I didn't go to any of yours either.
Oh, do you want to go to the final cut at the Hollywood Casino and I'll switch you spots at the parade this year?
It was through a friend that I actually got to go to the parade, but I think the podcast influenced it a little bit, maybe. Either way, it was surreal. I was in the bus going down Grand Street, waving to the peasants out the window as I sat in a bus. And then on a freezing cold day, I got to sit inside Union Station and just kind of chill out, eat, drink until the parade started. And then got to sit front row, or not front row, but I got to sit in a chair, in a seated chair. All roped off. I did feel bad, you know, because you're just like walking out there after being inside, grabbing a beer, and then walking out and seeing like people like slammed up against like the barricades, just like sitting there for would have been like 4 hours, just like I mean, you felt it felt like you're in a zombie apocalypse, and like you're not infected, you're on the inside, you're in the Garden of Eden, and all these infected people are just like slammed up against a barrier and they're just zombies because they've been freezing cold for 6 hours. And I've just been chilling, just chilling, drinking with Dwayne Bowe.
You saw Kayla Nicole in the bathroom.
Kayla Nicole cut me in line of the men's room. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that. So yeah, wild time.
Yeah.
Thanks to my friend.
All right.
She knows who she is.
Let's see. I'm going to go with my side number two. This was because of the podcast that I got to do this, solely because of the podcast, and it is the Busch Light protest at Brick and Mortar.
Oh, that was good.
The Busch Light protest at Brick and Mortar is an OG State Your Line podcast move. Like, you had to be listening back in 2019 to know
early
about
on. Like early episodes on. Like 2 and 3.
2 and 3. Brick and Mortar, this douchey group of restaurateurs took over Tanner's and Waldo.
Yeah, what was the name of the group?
Brosev Restaurant Group.
Because not because their names were Brosev, because they thought it sounded cool.
Yep. So they turned it brick and they turned Tanner's into Brick and Mortar. So it went from neighborhood dive to like trying to be this very odd coastal swanky place with very expensive cocktails,
expensive food,
hard to watch a game, food that wasn't good, and no Busch Light. No Busch Light in the restaurant, not on tap, not in cans. So the mayor of Waldo invented a protest where you'd go, you'd sit down, you'd ask for a Busch Light. They would say, nope, we don't have any. You'd say, I want a water. And then you'd walk out and you leave.
And you leave.
And that was the Busch Light protest at Brick and Mortar. And that was a great one. Yeah. Got to do it.
All right. Side number, I never did the Busch Light protest.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Did it multiple times. Sometimes I got food. Sometimes I got beer. Mm-hmm. But I always asked for a Busch Light when I was there.
Yeah. I only went once and it was like we had had dinner. I can't remember where we had dinner, but we were like going. We had had dinner and then we were like, okay, let's stop in there on our way to Johnny Caw's, like for an after dinner drink. And I got an old fashioned and it was one of the worst old fashions I'd ever had. And it was like $15. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I mean, it was small ice. It was just like bar ice, you know, small ice cubes, horrible, horrible old fashioned. And I was like, God, this place. And it died. And I feel like we were partially responsible.
Yeah, like
for that.
Some places can serve an old fashioned with small ice. Because it's not a nice bar. It's a bar.
And it would cost like $6.50.
Yeah, but a $15 old fashioned.
They better have a smoked freaking ice cube in there.
Yeah.
All right, side number two for me. I'll go with Boulevardia. Had the VIP tickets to Boulevardia this year. We had it in 2019 too, before the pandemic. We had we got passes for Boulevardia and that was fun. I mean, we just got to kind of pretend to, I think there were media passes, so we got to like pretend like that meant something. It didn't mean anything, but
just got in for free.
Yeah, got in for free, which was cool. And that was fun. So that's my sign number.
We should have like bulldozed our way closer to Nathaniel Ratcliffe or like gotten an interview with him or something. But that was awesome. Boulevardia kicks ass. The location at Crown Center is awesome too.
Good change. Yep.
I can't wait to not go probably this year, but it's awesome. All right. Other ones I had on my list. I had two that I didn't do that I should have. Kansas City Symphony, we barely missed out on.
Yep.
Because of COVID.
What happened? Yeah.
And then college basketball experience. We had tickets and we forgot to use them.
Oh, yeah.
That was a real drop there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad at myself for that.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
We got free Betty Ray's ice cream. That was a sweet perk.
We got a lot.
We got
free beer that we ever got.
Yeah, we got free drinks at Town & Company when we went. So when we went to Town & Company, I think it was Truzzolo, like, told them ahead of time, and we had free drinks for us when we got there, which was really nice. I have a friends and family card for Made in KC. Which gives me a free coffee drink every time I go.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
And we got a free yard ball.
Oh, yard balls. Those are awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder, didn't you buy yard balls too?
I bought 2 yard balls, yeah.
I wonder how the production's going on the yard balls.
I don't know.
I guess we haven't gotten them yet.
No, I've gotten them.
Oh, you got them?
Yeah.
The ones that say state your line on them?
No. You had to buy 50 to get them branded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you did get the ones you bought?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You still need one?
No, I've got one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I've got mine still.
Yeah.
From Tyler. So we're good there. I got to meet Big Cat and PFT.
Oh, yeah. That was the day we started the podcast.
First day of the podcast, which wasn't
because
of
the,
yeah, which wasn't because of the podcast, but I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gone to meet them
if it weren't for the podcast. So that was pretty awesome. I think that's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. All right. That'll do it for us this week. 2 more episodes left to go. We'll talk to you on the other side of the Super Bowl, too.
Mm.
Gosh, that's scary. Next time we'll be on, we'll either be the saddest episode. Remember last time when we lost our sad episode? We like changed the intro song.
Oh, yeah.
We don't even have to think about that.
All right. We don't even have to think about that.
Well, let's hope it's, we don't have to think about it.
Yep.
But thanks for listening this week. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine. We'll see you around, Kansas City.